T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon. It's a very wet, rainy Wednesday afternoon. We are halfway through the week. And look, we're going through some rough weather this afternoon and maybe late tonight, early tomorrow morning, and maybe into tomorrow morning into the morning commute. We're going through some rough weather now. But look, Memorial Day weekend is coming up, and the weather is going to be absolutely incredible over Memorial Day weekend. So let's all look forward to that. We just got to get through this. We need the rain. So let's accept it. I know many of you are getting out of school today. Some schools let out yesterday. Some schools are letting out today. I know it's an exciting time. And so you have a great excuse to stay inside and play your video games because you can't go outside and play. So anyway, I hope you enjoy your summertime. Maybe you have a little break before you go to some kind of a summer camp. And man, I know for mothers, summertime, and for fathers, summertime can be a really tough time with the kids. All right, we're talking about the tragic shooting yesterday. It started to unfold while we were on the air yesterday. The first report we got was two students were dead at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. Just before leaving the air, the death toll had gone up to 14. And at that point, I knew we would be talking about this today. The death toll has gone up to 19 children and two adults. Why? Why would somebody do this? Described as a loner. Described as somebody who was bullied. Those are not excuses. They may be reasons that some people do things, but those should not be used as excuses because, as I've said so many times, I was a loner. I had OCD, man. I felt really isolated from all of my peers in school. I felt totally alone, and I had red hair and freckles growing up. You think I wasn't bullied? Of course I was. But I dealt with it, and I taught my son to deal with it when he was different from the kids that he went to school with. So there's still the burning question of why. I mean, how does somebody do this? Dr. John Huber is a clinical forensic psychiatrist and psychologist and CEO at the Tripsitter Clinic. Oh, I'm sorry, the Tripsitter Clinic. Tripsitter, right? Tripsitter Clinic. All right, doctor, it's the first time we're talking to you. Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Scoot. Yeah, it's tripsitter.clinic. And, you know, one of the things that we ask is exactly what you did, because being human is inherently you're different than everybody else. You may not see other people as being different. They all may look the same. But I guarantee you, you talk to every single individual, and there's something about them. Their hair doesn't comb right. They got a blemish on their face. They got something that bothers them, and they feel ostracized. So what makes these people go that extra mile, so to speak, and do something so heinous? And one of the things, there's a couple things we see. If we go back to 2000 and all the mass shootings, even the Las Vegas shooting where the guy was in the hotel and just throwing and lobbing lead out there to that concert, we see a few things. One of the things we have is we have a father figure, not necessarily a father, but whoever the male person is, who is an absentee figure. They may be present physically, but they have nothing to do with raising the child. Or they have just absconded and walked away from the family. But you pair that with two other things. You have an overbearing mother who's controlling and won't let the kids do anything, make their own decisions, and any kind of mental health issues. And you get with the perpetrator. You put those three things together, and it's like lighting a campfire with gasoline or napalm. You know, it's not a good combination. This guy had all those situations. You know, his job history, he hadn't held a job since March. Apparently, he'd been at a local chain hamburger place in Uvalde in March for about a week before he was either terminated or left his job. And, you know, he'd been that way his whole life since elementary school. And we haven't been able to identify any kind of mental health intervention from the schools or anybody throughout this at this point. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened. We just haven't identified it so early.
You know, when you talk about the absence of a father figure, I think that is really important. But obviously, that's not, as you mentioned, that's not the only factor, because, you know, the two kids at the two shooters at Columbine, I believe both of their parents were at home and just oblivious to what their kids were amassing in terms of weapons and bomb making materials.
Right. Now, think about that. How can a father or a mother, for that matter, not know what their kids are doing? I mean, you walk in and moms do their laundry, all this kind of stuff. Where is dad? Like I said, they may be physically present, but they're not involved in rearing the child.
That's a really
good
point.
What we also see that, you know, for example, a lesbian couple can have kids and they're perfectly fine because they balance each other out. That's why having two parents is so essential in raising kids. And the same thing with having two gay men raising children. As long as they're raising them together and they're involved, that's going to mitigate these extreme behaviors. When you lose one of the parents, all bets are off.
Doctor, as best you can, take us into the mind of an individual like this. Because as I said at the opening, I mean, I was a loner. I was bullied. I had OCD. I didn't know what it was at the time. Nobody knew what it was at the time. I felt totally isolated. I felt like I was the only person that had a brain that worked the way my brain worked. So I got no help, and I thought I was just, you know, totally alone with this torture. So, I mean, in some ways, I fit the profile of a serial killer. But our mass killer. But what is it about somebody's brain? What is it in them that allows them to make that step to manifest their anger and frustration?
Yeah, at some point, they get to a place where they feel like they have nothing left to lose, and they feel like that they were handed such a bad deck of cards that they want to take out as many people as they can when they go. It's all bets are off. And they go for a soft target. You know, it's like I'm a Texas resident. I grew up in Texas my whole life. I've actually been to Uvalde, been to the restaurant he worked at, been to the school. I've been in Texas for a long time. And, you know, all of a sudden, what is triggering all this? One of the things is we made schools essentially a no-fly zone. No weapons are allowed there. And so legal law-abiding people aren't able to defend themselves in that place. So, you know, that gives that person now a soft target. If I'm going to go and take people out, or if I'm going to go rob a bank, I'm not going to take the bank with the modern, newest electronic security device. I'm going to get the older school, the older bank that doesn't have all that stuff. It's not going to be able to defend against basic assault. And that's criminals love opportunity. And opportunity lies in that. They know any law-abiding citizen in and around that school is not going to be armed. Now, in this situation, we were actually blessed because there was, you know, just across the street, basically, a Border Patrol agent who heard what was going on and just went in after him. Didn't wait for anybody backing him up or anything else, and he was able to eventually, you know, take him out before everybody else got there. But, man, it's that opportunity cost now. I can go out and do the most carnage with very little, you know, opportunity for them to stop me. Maybe I'll get away.
Dr. Huber, I think it's interesting that you point out the rational thought of picking a target. There's so much rational thought in the mind of somebody who is so irrational when it comes to something else.
Oh, absolutely, because they had time to think about this. You know, and that's before they pulled down his stuff. I've been doing forensic psych for a while, so I do have some people that have talked to me and that I've known for a while. And, you know, before they pulled down all his websites and social media and stuff, there were statements out there about causing hurt and inflicting pain on people. And, you know, it's one of the things I tell everybody. If you have kids, you need to be on all of their social media. If they don't friend you or they don't let you have access to it, you need to cut off their access. You guys pay their phone bill, turn it off. It's that simple. And you need to know. So why didn't anybody intervene? And I've heard also that there were lots of times when people went to them and said, hey, let us intervene. And for whatever reason, they chose not to do that. And we don't know the whole story yet. Again, it's, you know, less than 48 hours. So
the echo that we've heard from the president and from so many others in the aftermath of this is just so typical. It's like, well, you know, enough is enough. We've got to do something about this. We've got to do better. If Sandy Hook didn't make us better, what is there that's going to make us feel like we're going to do something now?
Well, you know, what we need to do, you know, I guarantee you, if this was Joe Biden's grandson's school, that there would be police around there. And it wouldn't have happened at his school. So what we've got to do is take that $40 billion that they want to send again back to Ukraine and use it to put probably the best people in the world, military-trained veterans, to go in there and have them be sworn in as officers and make them go do fire safety and all that kind of stuff and be present on every campus across this country, and it's over. It's not happening anymore.
But it's not happening at a school. But the way you talk about the mind of somebody who wants to do this, they will pick another target, like a grocery store.
Well, you know, why don't they do the grocery stores more often? And because they're not blocked. If your state allows legal carry, whether it's licensed carry or constitutional carry, they don't know who's in there carrying. And so they are less likely to hit those places. So, again, now that opportunity cost, now it's a variable, a mixed variable. There was just a report, a study that came out in a social science magazine about less than a month ago talking about states or cities where people are openly admitting to being gun owners have significantly less violent crime than cities where they don't. For example, Chicago. You know, you're not allowed to own guns in the city of Chicago. How come it's there? Well, criminals don't care about the laws, or they would already have worked. So the citizens, the legal citizens, can't defend themselves. And there have been court cases after court cases that say specifically that the police don't carry guns to protect the citizens. They carry them to protect themselves. And second, the citizens are secondary. So they're not there to jump in when you need it. Most altercations happen in less than 2 minutes. So if somebody walks in with a gun, by the time you call the police and they get there 15 minutes later, there's nothing you can do about it.
But isn't there a unique mentality about America? I mean, there are guns in Canada. And guns are part of their culture, part of their history. Guns are part of our history, part of our culture. But there seems to be a different mentality when it comes to Americans. It seems as if whether it's manifesting anger or settling a conflict on the street with another drug dealer or whatever, it seems like guns are the go-to thing to settle things. But that doesn't happen as often in other countries. Why is that?
Well, we first of all have a lot more guns out there than other countries do per person. You know, so the opportunity is there. The other thing is, you know, guns are a way to remotely kill somebody. You know, I've sat in prison cells and talked with serial killers who've used guns, used their hands, and there's something very intimate about killing somebody with your bare hands when you watch the life fall out of their system and they collapse. With a gun, you don't have to. You're basically throwing a lead rock at somebody and you just keep going. You don't have to even stop and see the carnage that you reap when you're doing that. So there's this almost anonymity to the whole situation. You don't know who you're hurting, so it doesn't really matter and exist.
But why doesn't that exist? Why doesn't that exist more in other countries?
Well, it does. And an example of that, you know, other countries that don't have guns openly like we do. For example, they had this about 3 years ago. They had a big situation in China, and the killer stabbed like 23 people with a knife before anybody got there and subdued him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they just use different things. We had another situation where they, you know, drove a truck through a mob of people instead of pulling a gun. You know, so there are other ways to kill people besides guns. But part of the problem is that, you know, this type of thing, I hate to say it, and you people are going to argue, actually happens so infrequently and statistically rare that it makes headlines. You don't get the 70 or 50 to 70 people who were shot last weekend in Chicago making headlines because it happens all the time.
Of course, we get the headlines here in New Orleans because people are shot here every day.
And you see that.
Yeah.
But nobody's panicking. There's not, crisis people running around and blowing up. But, it's just like the high-speed vehicle chases. Those are statistically rare. And most people who die in car vehicle accidents are going around 35 miles an hour or slower. But those don't cause headlines because that's where most people actually die.
Let's talk about this. I've got to get to a break, and I've got to let you go. But I want to get to this since you brought this up. Okay, a plane crashes, big news, but many more people died driving that same day, even in that same vicinity, but it doesn't make news. Why are we as a society, why are we so prone to pay attention to these disasters and to exaggerate them beyond where they really should fall?
Because when something happens like that in a rare situation, I mean, it's catastrophic. I can't even imagine losing one of my kids. Nobody else out there can unless it's actually happened to them. And it is heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching. You feel like you want to throw up. Now, the people in power can use that fear to control. And it's real easy for them to do that. They just start pleading and pulling on your heartstrings. And if somebody argues, I go into court and testify. I have to use real numbers. I can't go in there and say, oh, but I felt so bad about this, because the judge is going to say, why are you here? I want to know data. And so one of the things we can do is step away from going and interviewing everybody who's lost somebody, because we know how horrific it is. And we can start getting statisticians and data collection and actually look at the raw data and start counting those numbers and being rational to solve this. However rational the person may be thinking when they plan this, it's an irrational way to do it.
But isn't there something in the human psyche that likes to be scared? I mean, we're very voyeuristic. We look at accidents on the side of the road. We get on roller coasters. We know we're going to be scared on a roller coaster, but we put ourselves in these positions. I think the audience bears some responsibility for what the media delivers and how the media delivers it.
Well, I've been saying this on the air for a long time. Turn the news off. I mean, when something like this happens, turn it off. Don't let them control us. And you're exactly right. It's the dark side is seductive. That's why Darth Vader was such a big hit back in 1978. But the whole thing is we see that every day, and we start pondering, what would it be like? How evil must somebody be? Oh, thank goodness, I would never be that way. And you start rationalizing it through it and going up and down this emotional roller coaster until you resolve it, and that resolution brings you a reward system. So you start off with adrenaline, eventually going to this euphoric state because you realize your family's safe and you're safe. So it's stimulus response mechanism that's in play. It's Pavlov.
Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist with the Tripsitter. I'm having a hard time saying Tripsitter.
Yeah,
it doesn't really flow.
It's
the Tripsitter Clinic. Tripsitter Clinic.
It's tripsitter.clinic, actually, instead of a .com or .clinic.
Okay.
It's online ketamine-assisted psychotherapy.
Okay. Tripsitter.clinic.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Dr. Huber, thank you for your time. If you want to join us with some comments, thoughts this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Yeah, the doctor's right. These sensational moments, statistically, shouldn't be as alarming as they are. But they are because they're so sensational. And part of it is our desire to emphasize the sensational. We do it as people. We do it as a culture. And the media gives it to you because they know you want it. And you will pay attention to it. If you stopped paying attention, and you're not going to, but if you stopped paying attention to these sensational stories, the media would stop covering it. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's another song about school shootings. It's Boomtown Rats. It's been covered by Bon Jovi. The song is called I Don't Like Mondays, and it's about school shootings. I'm Scoot on the Air. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, trying to, you know, find some kind of not comfort, but just some kind of settlement of what we're feeling as a result of another shooting. Here's a grandmother of a fifth grader. This fifth grader was shot in the leg at the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, yesterday.
My grandson is in fifth grade, and he was shot in the leg. It went through the front, came out the bottom on his upper part. He has just been released, thank you, God. It didn't go through any bone. It didn't do any damage, hopefully no nerve damage and stuff. But he was just released, and we thank God for that.
And this is a resident from Uvalde, Texas, describing the feeling that the community is sensing after the shooting.
It's been horrible day. It hurts a lot. I mean, she's not a baby, but she's my grandbaby.
And Lieutenant Chris Alvarez is with the Texas Department of Public Safety. He said the shooter. It says here, and I know everybody's reporting, barricaded him in the classroom. I think he locked the door. Either way, he was stuck in this fourth grade classroom.
And the shooter was able to make entry into a classroom, barricaded himself, and at that point, it just started shooting children and teachers that were inside that classroom, having no regard for human life, just a complete tragedy and an evil person.
You know, I couldn't help but think last night when I was hearing about this that there were parents in this room, this building somewhere nearby the school, and the parents were not with their kids, so they had to believe that their kids were in the classroom. But officials had to take DNA from the parents to go match it up with the kids. Sandy Hook wasn't enough. Parkland High in Florida wasn't enough. Why do you think this is going to be enough? It's not going to be enough. Because this country is too rooted in political divide. And both sides are playing it. One side uses it to talk about gun control. Another side uses it to criticize the other side for talking about gun control. But the other side is also beholden to the NRA and to gun manufacturers. Many of the Republican candidates depend on that money to get reelected, which proves that they care more about reelection than they care about doing what is right. There's nothing wrong with the concept of stricter background checks. Oh, no, that's gun control. BS. Red flag laws. Why do those have sometimes difficulty getting through? It's about being able to go to a court because you see somebody who's disturbed, a family member or somebody else. You see somebody who's disturbed and they've got guns. Get the guns taken away from them. It doesn't mean they're not going to go find other guns. But man, let's just start doing something because we're doing nothing. And what about this? Think about the shooter in Buffalo. And at first it was reported that this guy had body armor. The guy in Uvalde, Texas, had body armor. Apparently he didn't. But what about the shooter in Buffalo? What about anybody that orders body armor? Or a bulletproof vest? Why can't we track anybody who orders body armor or a bulletproof vest? And if you're in law enforcement or if you're in a position where you're carrying money and you think people are going to be shooting at you, well, okay, fine, we don't bother you. But if just an average citizen is buying body armor or bulletproof vests and guns at the same time, especially, why can't they be flagged? Why can't we track people who buy body armor? It's not like you use it hunting. The animals aren't going to shoot back at you. So why can't we track that? That would have nothing to do with the Second Amendment. But there's something curious about the person, the average citizen, who would decide, I need body armor. Why the hell do you need it? If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian Hoke with a couple of your text messages. I know you've had a busy day in there.
Yeah, it's been slammed in here. Good afternoon, Scoot. Here's a text that says, it's not a both sides issue. Overwhelming majorities of Americans support common sense gun reforms, and only the Republican Party is getting in the way of those reforms coming law. Whatever you think about Democratic overreach, the GOP answer is to just deflect until we forget it and move on to the next thing in the news.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I call it on both sides, but it's lopsided on the Republican side. But sometimes it's lopsided on the left because, you know, the screams of gun control. I mean, what do you mean by gun control? And what would have stopped this? This guy was 18. He legally bought these guns after he turned 18. What gun control law would stop that? So there are other things that need to be addressed, and we're not addressing those things.
In that regard, I have a text here that said, what would have shown up on this 18-year-old's background check anyway?
Yeah, well, we don't
have no criminal record.
And maybe nothing. But we have learned that there were so many signs on social media and also even with just mental health professionals. There were so many signs that these mass shooters in the past in different situations had displayed a propensity to do what they did, a desire to do what they did. And we didn't connect the dots. And as I've said many times, sometimes agencies don't talk to each other. So one agency's got information on the guy, the other agency doesn't. So the guy buys guns legally. That is a problem.
I don't know if it would have come up in a criminal background check, but we do know a little bit about the shooter in Uvalde, who was a cutter. He did some self-harm to his face, according to his friends, and he had some kind of like weird violent tendencies. He would go around the neighborhood shooting people with BB guns and stuff like that. So he's definitely a psychopath,
yeah.
Psychopathic young man. But I don't know if that would have come up in a background check. I don't know how that
works. Well, you know, but this is where we need to bond as a society. And again, I know it sounds like such a cliche. If you see something, say something. Mm-hmm. If you see something like this in somebody, use this as an example. Say something. Find somebody to talk to. Find somebody to tell that this individual is cutting themselves. That is not normal. Or that going and shooting people with a BB gun in the neighborhood. We did that once in a while, but that's still not normal.
Here's a text that says, it's funny how ignoring every single mass shooting and ignoring the problem is, quote unquote, not political, but wanting to do literally anything about it is political. The right loves to bemoan being PC while cultivating their own form of political correctness.
Amen.
Here's one more that says, I don't think the framers expected that we would need assault rifles to protect ourselves from anyone or anything. Who needs a gun capable of mowing down hundreds of people or animals or beer bottles in a minute?
Well, you know, I'm not a gun collector, and I've talked about this many times. Mm-hmm. Maybe gun collectors just like the idea of owning this extreme piece of equipment. In the same way that there are people who like to own cars that go 180 miles an hour. You can't legally drive 180 anywhere. So why do you need a car that goes over 100? But yet you just like having that car. So maybe that's part of it. So I'm not going to criticize people who want to own those things. We had an assault weapons ban in this country in the 90s. And, I don't know that it yielded anything. It seems like a simple solution, but I don't know if the solution is really that simple. I think just the bigger question is making sure the wrong people don't buy guns. And making sure that people don't sell guns to the wrong people. And people should be held accountable. Background checks should be stricter. And red flag laws should breeze through. But again, it's all political. And it's amazing how cowardly our politicians are. They're cowards. They're scared. They're scared of the voters. They're scared of the NRA. They're scared of the progressive left. They're scared. These are not bold people. These men and women in politics, most of them are cowards. Because they're beholden to somebody other than you who put them in office. We'll be back with more on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, brought to you by Ramsey's Jewelers. It was on this day in 1985, this song hit number one in the country. Everything She Wants by Wham. This was their third number one song. I think the first one was Wake Me Up, and then the second one would have been Careless Whisper. This was their third. I think I'm right on those two songs. But those were their first hits. And this was their third big hit. Also on this day in 1985, Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me, was number two. And Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, was number three. Man, 1985 was a hell of a year for music. I remember. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Here's a song that was written by students at Parkland High School after the Parkland High School shooting a few years ago. It's called Wake Up, America. All right, I'm Scoot on this really wet, kind of stormy Wednesday afternoon. Let's see if we can check in with our local weather expert in the Channel 4 Weather Center, Chief Meteorologist Chris Franklin. Are you with us, Chris?
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, we just had this has been a relatively quiet line of storms, aside from the heavy downpours, but in terms of severe, really haven't seen anything until just now. A little spin up around Kill Diamond Head, north of Shoreline Park. A tornado warning has been issued for these areas, kind of continues out toward Lyman, so giving you an idea of the area in southern Mississippi that we're talking about. A little brief spin up, what was being detected by radar right now, around the Diamond Head area. Again, this is a tornado warning that will stay in effect. Let's see, I'm just kind of reading the very latest in until 3:30, but this is moving pretty quickly toward the Diamond Head area, moving northeast at about 30 miles an hour. Weather Service folks have said that they might have seen what we have in the kind of tools on radar is the ability to sometimes see some debris, and they may have seen some brief debris that showed up. Didn't last for very long, so it may be that this could be a confirmed tornado on the ground. If it is, this is not going to be anything very strong, but winds of over 65 miles an hour, kind of at the low end of the scale, can easily do some damage. So for folks around Kill and Diamond Head right now, you want to get into that safe room, that safe spot in your home, and just wait for this storm to pass on through. Again, it's moving pretty quickly, about 30 miles an hour, so it'll be in and out very shortly. But just to get into that safe spot right now, if you're in the Kill Diamond Head area around kind of the Highway 43 north of 10, so this is all north of I-10, you need to get into that safe room right now, as there could easily be a tornado on the ground.
And Chris, what might we experience tomorrow morning when something else comes through here?
Well, we're going to get, in terms of the heavy rainfall, we actually have seen this, for the most part, kind of winding down. Still have some periods of heavy downpours, but the heaviest of the rain is moving out. And then we'll get a break for the rest of the evening and going into tonight. And then overnight tonight, we do have the chance to see some more downpours developing. It doesn't look like the rain overnight into early Thursday will be as heavy or as extensive. Rain coverage today was 100%. Everybody saw rainfall. Tonight, it may be more along the lines of around 70%. So not everyone will get the rain. And the good news is a lot of the models indicating that this should all be gone by about daybreak, or maybe just after that, early tomorrow. So hopefully this isn't really much of an issue for going into work or for those that are still in school early tomorrow. And then by the midday afternoon hours tomorrow, we're going to be clearing out with drier air moving in behind a cold front, which will actually make it feel pretty nice for Friday and Saturday, considering it's the last weekend of May, Memorial Day weekend. We're actually going to get a couple of days here that feel pretty nice for almost the start of summer.
Is it true when there's a flash flood warning, the staff gets together and they put Eric up on blocks?
It started out as we were trying to elevate him to a higher position in the building, but it got to be too, it was just too cumbersome. So yeah, we put him on cinder blocks.
It's a shame he can't get there himself.
Well, it's a harness. It's a whole apparatus that we have to deal with every day. And it's just...
All right, Chief Meteorologist from the Channel 4 Weather Center, your local weather expert, Chris Franklin, thanks for being with us. Let's go to Bay St. Louis. And Chris, you're on WWL. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
Look, this is going to be kind of cold and hard, but in terms of with the abortion debate across the country, this kid was raised by his grandmother. His father wasn't anywhere around, apparently. His mother was a drug addict. This is the hard part. He'd have been better if we all would have been better if he wouldn't have been born. There's just so much pain and hurt going around this community in Texas that they just... I know that's a cold, hard thing to say, and I know we can't always do it.
It's cold and it's hard, but it's true. It's true.
It's just... Because obviously this kid had troubles. I was listening when you were talking about him scarring himself and then going around shooting. Yeah, everybody shot birds with BB guns when we were kids over here, but you never shot people.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I got.
Well, Chris,
I listen to y'all all the time, buddy.
Appreciate the call, man. Hang on because you might have some heavy weather heading in your direction. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get back to more of your calls and more of your texts coming up. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar for today, on this day, May 25th, 2002, a mosh pit went totally wrong at an Eminem concert in Washington, D.C., RFK Stadium. At least 25 people injured in the mosh pit. You see, rappers don't know how to do mosh pits. The grungers know how to do mosh pits. So if you see a mosh pit breaking out at a rapper's concert, beware. We'll be back on WWL. Always one of my favorite songs. But no, look, this is history. This is history on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. It was on this day in 1988, Debbie Gibson's Foolish Beat was number one in America. But historically, that made her the youngest artist ever to write, sing, and produce a number one hit. She was 17 years old at the time. Debbie Gibson goes down in history as the youngest to write, sing, and produce a number one song in 1988. I'm Scoot. So did you see any of the NBA playoffs last night? I had to break from the news, that which was so horrible last night, watching just this tragedy unfold. I did flip over and watch the game. And Dallas beat the Warriors, so now it goes back to Oakland, I guess. And I'm assuming that Oakland's going to take care of... I'm sorry, not Oakland. Golden State is going to take care of that. Anyway, Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, the coach and the three-point shooter for the Warriors, had comments. Steve Kerr, the coach, got really animated after the game. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. Hey, it's Wednesday. Be safe out there because there is going to be some flooding in localized areas. This is WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.